Welcome to New Life. We're glad you're looking and watching and listening. And hey, I'm glad you guys are here too. Like Neil said, the weather's beautiful, but we're here and then we're going to get out and enjoy this nice weather. God is good. I love it when the weather gets good. My wife and I love to go outside and hiking and biking and all sorts of fun stuff. And so before we get into anything, my name is Chris O. I am one of the pastors here. Get to work with our young people all across the state of Arkansas. I absolutely love it. But I want to introduce you to my family. Katarina and I have been married for 14 years, and our little baby girl, Maya Grace, she's going to be 5 months on Monday. Let's go ahead and show you a little picture of the baby. Aw, aw, cue the aws. Yeah, I mean, you have to. Okay, for those of you who do not habla German, das Baby is German for the baby. And so you learned a little bit of German today. That was for free. Okay, and the next is, this is my wife and my baby. And so I get these pictures. If I'm gone for like anywhere up to 2 to 3 hours, I'll get a picture of her like, this is what you're missing today. You're missing the sweet baby. So that's German Fox 1 there on the bottom. German Fox 2 up on the top of the picture. And German Fox 2, no dating till 30. Boom! Okay, so we got that out of the way. But listen, guys. I'm super honored to be here. Anytime I get a chance to speak on the weekends, it's an incredible honor. And the main reason, obviously, speaking the word and sharing a message with you guys, but it's also just because of the pastors of this church. And I just want to specifically thank Rick and Michelle Bizet. I love you guys and appreciate you so much. And Neil and Gina and y'all's families, just the way that you guys love people. And I mean this sincerely, the way that you guys pastor and love people and constantly give, it changed our life. It really did, New Life. I mean, it changed our marriage, and you're here a little bit more. I promised myself I wouldn't cry. Anyway, but like, I'm serious, man. Just being able to be in this church has changed us. And over a decade ago, we never would have thought we'd be here. But it's because of y'all's pastors that we are and our pastors that we are. And so can we give it up for the pastors of this church? Love you guys. Love you, Rick. So Pastor Rick was talking about the struggle is real last week. We're in week 3 of this series, and I love it. But he talked about struggle in the Greek. It's pale is the term, and it means when there's a struggle, a fight, and then the winner of this contest would literally have their foot on the throat of the loser. And I mean, I hear that description, and I'm going, no, thank you. I don't even want to get involved in this. But let's face it, struggles in our life, they can do that to us. We truly go through life, and then things happen and stuff comes up and it feels like it pins us down. It hurts us. It keeps us where we don't know what to do next. And that's exactly why we're doing this series, The Struggle is Real. It's because we want to address these issues. We want to give our church the right things to equip them into how to get through the struggles that we all inevitably face. And so to kick things off, I got to be honest with you about some struggles I've been facing. It's called being a new dad. I don't know if anybody in here raise your hand if you're a parent in the room. You parents, lots of parents. Okay, so you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're about to become a parent, people try to prepare you. They try to tell you what it's going to be like. And no matter what they say, it really doesn't prepare you. Because you have some people on the super negative side. They're like, oh, you're never going to go on a date with your wife again. It's over. You know, you got people saying that kind of stuff. Then you got people that are like, it's just a blessing from the Lord. And they just get, you're just going to cry tears of joy. And I'm like, I don't really cry that often. Then your baby comes and you're just like, well, what is this salty discharge? I mean, you just start weeping, you know? And so no one can really prepare you. But the changes that come once you have a child, man, they create some struggles. You got to learn new things, right? You got to learn new skills, like sleeping for 3.5 minutes if you get the chance. I mean, literally, if I'm driving on a really straight road, I mean, I'm just like, okay, I'm good, you know. You got to learn new skills. You got to learn new skills that you didn't even realize were a thing. Like I heard that Jesus was wrapped and swaddled, but I didn't know that you really had to swaddle. My wife refused to swaddle. I mean, she just was like, Chris, I do not swaddle here. Take her. I'm like, what do you mean you don't swaddle? I just don't do it. I'm like, okay. So I practice on a football or whatever. Like I had to learn how to swaddle. You learn new terms like meconium. Not many of you know what that is. Well, don't worry. I'm going to tell you a story. Meconium is your bundle of joys, first bundle of joy. And so when my wife, who is German, decided we're going to have a child, she was very clear. She's sitting on the front row, beautiful, amazing, I love you. I don't bow to many people, but I bow to you because this story is going to, it's just amazing. She decided, I will do unmedicated birth. not even an aspirin, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, and so I'm like, wow, that's incredible. And the minute, if your wife steps up to the plate in such a strong manner, you have to follow suit. So I'm like, okay, babe, well, don't worry, because I'm going to get you an awesome playlist. It's going to be so good. It's going to be like epic music and Braveheart stuff, and like, you know, worship will be mixed in. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Then I'm in there, I'm like praying over the room, like trying to make sure. And apparently when you're having a child, I don't get this, but you're not allowed to drink any liquid. That seems torture. Like, I mean, like you're going through all, it's called labor. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to drink something. Anyway, so Kat's in labor, and I'm like sneaking her coconut water. That's what she wanted. I bring it up to him, like, baby, you hydrate, you need it, you got this, I believe in you. So then Maya comes, right? And it's just this flood of emotion. Anybody who's done this, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, you can't believe it. And soon after the flood of emotion comes the flood of guests to visit. And so then I played the role of bouncer, you know, like I let people in. But the second I saw that Kat was ready for him to go, I'm be like, hey guys, I'm sorry, I need you to go ahead and go. No, for real, this isn't New Life Church, get out. You know, like just got real bold. And then, again, I'm going to be super dad, right? But then was the first diaper. He's like, Chris, I think it's the time for the first diaper. You know, hands me Maya. I'm like, I got this. I prepared. I remember changing the diaper on the little baby doll in the class, you know, and I'm like, Velcro, Velcro. Oh, dear God. You know, this meconium. Listen, it's like it's a substance not of this world. I'm just telling you right now, it looked like something that in the Avengers movies they would come up with. It would attack people or something. I'm looking at this and I'm like, this isn't human. It's like a tar substance that encompasses everything in its path. That's the best way I can describe it to you. So I bust out like 50 wet wipes. I'm just like, you know, I'm trying to get, but I'm persevering, guys, because I am super dad. You know, I'm going to get this done. So I get her cleaned off, and I'm gloating in my victory. I'm like, babe, first diaper, I nailed it, except for meconium explosion number two erupted, and I didn't have a diaper on her. So then she decides to go pee-pee too. So it's everywhere. Things are flying everywhere. And at this point, I'm like, I'm not super dad. Nurse, you know, I'm like, I'm done. And so listen, guys, when we go through any type of change in life, there are struggles, there are new things that come, there are new things that we have to overcome, and sometimes we don't know what to do, we don't know where to turn, we don't know who to ask, we don't know what we're supposed to do with something. And if you're a note taker, what we're going to be talking about today is make the change. The struggle is real, and we've got to learn to make the change sometimes. I'm going to tell you, man, in my life, there have been times where I have had no idea what to do, how to make a change, because of all the challenges that come with it. John 16:33 says, on this earth, you will have trouble. Jesus said that, and we always love to focus, right, on the next part where he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. But I believe we got to first, for a minute, just realize that trouble comes. Challenges come. I mean, they come our way, and we have to know what to do with them, and a lot of times they come in seasons of change. When we're trying to get from one place to the next, we're trying to follow God through something in our life. Could you imagine a world where we just decided, no, we're never going to grow, we're never going to change, we're never going to challenge the status quo? It would be a bad place. And this scripture in 2 Corinthians, I want to read to you guys. It kind of shows us why we have to be willing to change. Here, let's dive in here. 2 Corinthians 3:17. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If everybody could look up at me real quick, what I want to do just before we even read another point in this scripture is I want to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be here, would set us free from some things that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But this isn't a message that I'm speaking to because I want some clever points to be dropped in. This is a message that has changed my life. It's changed the way I wake up in the morning, the way I go to bed at night, the way I pray, the way I encounter obstacles. My wife and I face our challenges. I'm telling you right now. So let's go to God real quick. Lord, we just invite you to be here. God, to help us to face any challenge, any change, knowing that your Spirit is with us, and when you are with us, there is freedom. God, I pray that our minds would be open, our hearts would be open. God, I pray that our ears would be open to hear. But most of all, Lord, I pray that when we leave this place, we don't leave and go, man, that was a cool word. No, God, we walk out of here and go, we're going to live this word. Let it be something that changes us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, so continuing in verse 18. So the Lord is the Spirit of freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed. Everybody say changed. changed as we are changed into His glorious image. We have to be able to change. We have to be able to move forward. We have to be able to get through things. And I took just a few minutes. It only took me a little bit. And I wrote down some things, some changes that you guys might be going through, some challenges that God might be saying, hey, this is in your path, but I'm asking you to get through it, to make this change. You could be changing careers. God put it on your heart to go do something else, to move to a different place, selling your home. Maybe it's moving somewhere. My wife and I, our house is on the market. I know that can bring stress and challenge, but it's a change God's asking you to do. It could be changing schools for your kids. I'm a pastor of students. I know how that can be difficult and challenging, and things happen and struggles come for that. It could be changing a habit or many habits that are keeping you from God. Church, listen, we have to have the Spirit of God with us. Sometimes we got to make those changes. It could be changes that are keeping you from good health. My wife and I were on this thing called Whole 30. Can I just tell you, the other day, I was in a restaurant and I was eating salsa with a fork, okay? You can't eat anything on Whole 30. Literally, I was like, maybe there's some cilantro in here. I mean, it's sad. Change, any change we make can be difficult, right? Changing friendships. Friends, maybe some of you need to get into a life group that friends that you have, they're bringing you down, there's negativity, and you hear God saying, man, it's time to change. Make a commitment and get around friends that are going to lift you up, build you up, iron sharpens iron, that kind of thing. But here's the biggest point I want to make. A lot of us, we need to change from a place of hopelessness to a place of hope. We need to change and understand that God is going, I'm leading you into hope, not wanting to leave you in hopelessness. Over a decade ago when my wife and I came to New Life, our marriage was in a hopeless place. But God said, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to bring you to hope. Some of you are in an addicted place in hopelessness. God's saying, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm leading you into hope. And here's why I'm saying all of this, guys. It's because when I look at the church, anywhere from our junior high ministries all the way up to adult ministries, I look at it and I see that we are defined. A lot of Christians are defined by coping. We're just trying to cope. Just make it through. Listen, guys, God didn't call you to just make it through, to just cope. He called you to succeed. He called you to live in victory. He called you to be above and not beneath. And guys, I'm not just saying this because it feels good to encourage people. I'm saying this because the Word of God says it. Deuteronomy 28:13. The Lord will make you like the head, not the tail. You will be on top, not on the bottom. And this will happen when you listen to the commands of the Lord your God. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to look at the story of this guy named Joshua. Joshua was a man who he had to make monumental changes in his life. He had to get from point A to point B in a big way. And he was like, all right, God, how do I do it? And God gave him some clear commands. This is how you do it. That's what I love about the Word. God never gives us a command. He never gives us a charge without then laying out the blueprint to success. And so what I want to talk about is if you're got a change that you're trying to make and challenges are coming up against you, this is our blueprint. And like I said, I'm praying that this is very important. We're going to get into this in a second. But this isn't just something I want to walk out of here and go, yeah, cool, I feel good. Apply this stuff to your life, to your world, and it's a game changer, I promise you. So the story of Joshua, that's what we're focusing on. I got to give you a little background on this guy before we dive in. But we know that Joshua was in Egypt. He was a part of those Israelites that were enslaved. So he's over there. He's enslaved. They get out. We know the story. All the miracles happen. They go, and they're in the wilderness, and they're heading to this place called the Promised Land of Canaan. And the Promised Land in the Word, it says it's a land that flows with milk and honey. When I was a kid, I was like, that sounds really nasty. I didn't know what it meant. I was like, are the rivers with milk and honey? Because, ew, you know, or whatever. But what it means is, it means it's a land overflowing with provision. That's what it means. So they're there, and they're on the doorstep of Canaan. They're about to go in. They're about to go into this land that God has promised them, but first they send these 12 spies in. And you guys will remember this story. The 12 spies come back, and they're carrying, like, giant things of fruit and all this stuff and walking back, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is the Promised Land. This is going to be amazing. We can't wait. Let's go. But the spies go, no, 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 no. Guys, we can't go. 10 of the 12 spies said, no way. It surely is a land of provision. But guys, there are fortified cities. There's these giant people. They're warrior nations. We'll surely be crushed if we go. Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that were listening to God, were like, no, guys, we've got to go. God's with us. We got the one true God with us. But the tribe had spoken. The majority had spoken. And they said, we're staying here. We're staying in a wilderness. And church, listen, I believe there are many of us that are stuck in a spiritual desert when God is calling us to a spiritual promised land. We are stuck in this spiritual desert all because he's saying, make the change. Cross that Jordan River, get into Canaan, and we see the challenges and go, oh no. If challenges and changes keep us in check, church, I promise you, we're going to be stuck in this place, and that should not be. Why? More scriptural proof. Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But again, like I said, God gives us a blueprint to success. And in Joshua 1:7-9, we can look and learn from his blueprint. I encourage you guys, read this entire chapter when you have a chance. It's so encouraging. But Joshua 1:7-9, be strong and very courageous. Can I have everybody look up at me real quick? That word, very courageous. You guys, I believe we live in a Joshua generation right now. If you look at the world around us, can we not see that the world is being worn out by the spiritual desert that we're in? All you got to do is click on your CNN app and read a little bit, and you'll know I speak the truth. There's this dryness, this darkness, these things going. I believe that we are a Joshua generation that's called to say, man, we are moving on. We're going to a new place. But to do it, we don't need just a little courage. We need a lot of courage. We need to be very courageous. And so let's continue reading. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. I like the sound of that. Verse 8, keep this book of law always on your lips. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. Meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to do everything written in it. Then you're going to be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Whenever God says something multiple times in a short amount of time in Scripture, it's where we got to pay attention to it. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, church, check it out. I could unpack this scripture, and we could literally make a 10-point sermon. Don't worry, as I always say, I know the skillet of queso is waiting, so we got to get there, so we're not going to go that long. But I want to focus on the highlights, a couple things that really hit me, that made me go, man, I've got to make a change. And the first is this, a blueprint to making the change. Number one is speak the word. Speak the word over your life. Speak the word over your challenges. Speak the word over the changes you need to make. Now, I want to say, some of you might be sitting here going, well, I've heard that before. Listen, I could write a book about the things I've heard before and don't do. Right? Like this, yeah, we've all heard it, but do we do it? And secondly, I want to say something. I'm not just up here like, speak the word, saying, get God's word and make it align with your life. No. I'm saying, get your life and put it in alignment with the word and speak the word, and it's a game changer. See, Joshua, when he was in this scenario, God said, keep this book of law always on your lips. He didn't say, think about it a lot. Now, some of you are going, well, he did say meditate on it day and night. But what did he first say? He said, keep this book of law always on your lips by meditating on it day and night, by following what it does. We have to have the word of God on our lips, speaking it. Do you guys remember Jesus when he was wandering in there a little bit, fasting in the wilderness? The enemy came and tempted him. What did Jesus do to rebuke the enemy? He spoke scripture. He spoke the word. Let's check it out in Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. He quoted scripture. It takes more than bread alone to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. Jesus spoke scripture. This is how God and I work sometimes. Sometimes I'll pray, and God gives me these little quizzes, like where he asks me questions. I don't know if he ever does something like that to you, but he'll just start asking me questions. Well, recently I was praying, and God goes, hey, Chris, do you remember Jesus? I was like, yeah, I remember him. You know, that's a good one. That's an easy one. I remember him. He goes, do you remember what he did to rebuke temptation, to get free of temptation? I said, yes, Lord. He spoke scripture. And he goes, yeah, Chris. I'm like, yeah, Lord. And he goes, you mean the same Jesus that walked on water? I'm like, yes, God, that same Jesus. He goes, the same Jesus that healed the lame and they could walk again. I was like, yes, that Jesus. He goes, the same Jesus that opened the blind eyes and they could see. Yes, Lord, that Jesus. The same Jesus, Chris, that Lazarus, he dead, now he's alive. That Jesus. I was like, yes, God. I'm like, I'm getting an A+. I remember all this. He goes, the same Jesus that went to the cross, paid for sin, went to the grave, conquered death, came back, and you're a Christian because of Jesus. You remember that Jesus? And I said, oh, Lord, I remember it. Yes, I remember Jesus. And he goes, why do you think that the all-powerful, all-knowing, my son Jesus has to quote scripture to overcome temptation, but you don't have to? And I thought, oh, no, you didn't. I guess, whoops. I failed that test. I mean, my gosh, it just hit me. And I thought, my gosh, Lord, you're right. Jesus went from tormented by temptation to fully free from temptation by speaking the word. He needs to follow the law. We need to follow the law. He needs to follow the word. We need to follow the word. I'm begging you guys to understand, some of you in here, you are so tormented and locked in and torn up by temptation. It's killing you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, my God tells me that no temptation has come against me except for what is common to man. And God, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide you a way out so that you can stand up under it. Some of you in here are weary, you're worn out, you're tired. Well, my God says in Isaiah 40:31, that those who wait on him, trust in him, hope in him, will rise up with wings as eagles. They will renew their strength. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Some of you in here, you're torn up with fear. Fear is paralyzing you. Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 tells me that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power to overcome fear, but of love to surround yourself with God and others to get you through fear, and a sound mind to recognize when the enemy's coming at you with fear. You better be careful. I'm going to start preaching. You know what I'm saying, church? Listen, some of you got worry in your heart. Come on, man. We're a generation of worriers. Worry about everything. Well, my God says in Philippians 4:6-7, this is a life verse for me. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and a peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. We've got to speak the word of God over our lives, over the struggles that we come up against, over the changes that we need to make. Joshua certainly did this. He didn't just hear this command from God and go, man, Lord, that was a really cool scripture. Thanks. He said, I'm going to live this. In fact, I'm going to take it up a notch. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? Scholars say that the Ten Commandments were in there amongst other things. But when he said, I'm going to take, he goes, okay, speak the word, speak the word. Okay, let's take the word and let's lift it up. We got to cross a river. We got to get across the Jordan to get into Canaan. Boys, lift up the Ark of the Covenant. Let's go. And they lifted up, waters parted. They came to a fortified city that had their 12 spies shaking in their boots, or at least 10 of them. They went to that fortified city again. They said, lift up the word of God. March around it. I hope you can see the imagery that God is trying to give us. What's the river of change you're trying to cross and it's intimidated you? Lift up the word of God over it and part on dry land. What's that wall that you've run into? You've tried to bulldoze over. You've tried to climb over, dig under, go around, and you can't figure it out. Can I tell you something? You're going to start putting this into action in your life, you're going to speak the word of God over that change, and your pinky finger is going to bring a wall to crumble, because it's the blueprint that God asked us to follow. He said, speak the word. Keep it ever always on your lips, and we'll be able to succeed. And more than anything, please remember this. It's not how big your challenge is. It's not how big your change is. It's how big your God is. It's what he can bring to you. Come on, man. Give it up to God. That's a good thing. That's a good place to give him an amen. Okay. So, we've got to speak the word. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to speak with authority. Write that down. Speak with authority. Now, it's clear that God wanted Joshua to speak with authority. We remember, because he said multiple times, he's like, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. But guys, I got to be honest, there are times in life where it's not good to speak with authority. My wife and I were recently in a discussion. When we're not at church, we call those arguments. we were definitely in an argument. We were in an argument about what to do with Maya, like something about nap time or something along those lines. And guys, I seriously debated whether or not I should even say this. I'm so embarrassed by what I did. But sleep deprivation will make you do and say strange things. I'll just say that. So we're in this discussion. We're going back and forth on what to do. And like I said, I've never done this before and I'll never do it again. But I was like, hey, Kat, I'm the man around here. Some women over here like, oh. I'm the man around here. I'm sorry. This is the most ridiculous thing. I'm the man around here. So we're going to do what I say we're supposed to do. Yeah, yeah. So I sat there. I'm all like, and this is her. She was sitting there. Hi, babe. Anyway, she was sitting there with Maya, like looking down at Maya. Then suddenly, Like, just, and I mean, like, it was literally the fire of 1,000 suns were emanating from her eyes. I was just like, oh no, you know? And so she really slowly, stands up, really calm, very calm, and she goes, "We will never do what you propose to do." And turned around and, like, slowly walked away, and I was just like, ugh. You know what I mean? Just, you strong, me weak. We do what you say. You know what I mean? It was horrible. I immediately repented. Listen, sometimes you just don't try to pull the authority card. It won't help you. But listen to me. You got to hear this. When you are up against a change that God is asking you to make and a challenge hits you, every time is the right time to speak with authority. Because God is asking you to do something. You're called to speak with authority. And once again, this isn't my idea. If this was my idea, I wouldn't be saying it so boldly. This is God's idea. Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Boldly. There we will receive his mercy and find his grace to help us when we need it most. God hit me with this. He said, "Chris, why do you pray with a whimper when you're called to pray like a warrior? Why do you cower with this whimper in your prayers when you're called to pray like a warrior? Why do we complain our prayers to God? God, I'm such a tough day. Oh, man, I just don't. When we're called to, like a warrior, to stand up and speak with authority. I think about sometimes how we pray over meals. And I talk about this all the time. Please understand, I'm a huge advocate to praying over meals. I think it's a great thing to do. Recently, I was in IHOP praying. My friend Justin Free and I were there, and we were praying over a meal. And our waitress was walking by, and she heard us praying. She's like, oh, and I just jumped in and, like, bowed her head and started praying with us. I was like, oh, cool. You know, welcome to the prayer. Anyway, but prayer is incredible. It's awesome. You can do that. But why sometimes is it such an afterthought? Think about it. Lord, thank you for this burrito. It's the size of an American football, but please let it be nourishing and let my wife's burrito not be that big, you know, or whatever. Like, just praying like awkward prayers. Like, your wife is sitting across from you, man. She's got things that are going on in her life. Pray for them. Your friend is sitting across from you at work, at school, at university. There's something going on in their hearts. Pray for them. Lift them up. Make it real. I was thinking about this, like Ben Gormley, wherever he's at, he's in here. He leads worship. And this dude, he's incredible at this. He's my hero when it comes to this. I'll be talking to him, be like, man, I just kind of have a headache. He's like, let's pray. And he just like, oh, okay, sounds good. Yeah, it throws me off. But then I'm like, wait, this is exactly what we should do. And listen, guys, I want to make sure you don't feel like you're on the hook on this, or I'm trying to be pushy with this, because it's not because we're lazy that we don't do this. We don't pray the word and pray with authority. It's not that. It's not that we're rebellious. It's not that. Can I tell you why we don't do it? It's because Satan hates it when we do this. Satan's worst nightmare is this room of people getting down what I'm preaching about right now. I promise you. It's his worst nightmare, a group of people like you going out into Conway and Greenbrier and Bologna, wherever you're from, and speaking the word and speaking with authority. Once again, this isn't my idea, it's God's idea, and I'm going to show you why. James 5:16 says this, "The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful and to be reckoned with." Do you think the enemy wants that? No way. Matthew 18, I'm going to actually skip to verse 19. It says, "When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action." Think the enemy wants that going around? No. And everybody look at me for a second. What is the thing in your life that you're going, God, I have to have you go into action? God, if you don't go into action, I'm lost. If you don't go into action, it's all over. If you don't go into action, we're not going to be able to do it. Well, he gave you the formula to success. Speak the word. Speak it with authority. Get other people around you and speak the word and speak with authority and watch God move and watch God blow your mind. Listen, recently I was teaching our 5th, 6th, and 7th graders about this. And so I was teaching them about how the enemy goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, which is scriptural and it's true. That's what he's doing. But I was teaching them this. I said, students, 5th, 6th, 7th graders, you've got a loaded shotgun of prayer. when that roaring lion comes after you, and these fifth graders, you should have seen them like, oh boy, they just got so excited about this. And it scared me. I was like, I don't know. And then I remembered, oh, we're in Arkansas. We're good. we're okay in this state, you know. But anyway, but they got so excited. And I was teaching them. And as I was teaching them, guys, I realized this isn't for fifth, sixth, and seventh graders. This is for me. God was giving this word to me. And I want to pass it on to you. The enemy goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And we get up in the morning, we spend our 10, 15 minutes with God in our prayer closet, and we leave our loaded shotgun behind. Do you think the roaring lion is only at your house looking for you? No, he's out prowling around looking for you wherever you're at. We got to keep that prayer, loaded prayer gun with us. Here's another thing I told the 5th, 6th, and 7th graders that I realized is for me. So sometimes that roaring lion is coming at me, and I don't know what to do, and I just throw my shotgun of prayer at it. Well, that's just going to bounce off its skull, then you dead. I mean, that's how that story is going to happen. No. We got to know how to pray the right way. Pray the word, pray with authority, click, click, boom, we win. That's how we've got to do it. God told us how to do it. And so let me put it into another way for you. Satan doesn't respond to complaints. He responds to commands. You've been given authority by Christ to tell him what to do. Stop complaining to God about what you're struggling with and start commanding those struggles to get out your way. Start commanding the temptation to leave. Now listen, guys, we're going to talk about this in a second. You may have to lap Jericho a few times before the wall comes down. You keep walking. You keep doing it. You keep speaking it. I promise you, it's powerful and effective. And more important than my promise is God's promise. And let me just tell you guys something. I want you to be very sure to not be timid in this, because they're not your words you're speaking. It's God's word. So you don't need to be timid. Listen, please don't be intimidated, because there's a group of you in here right now. I know that you're there because I've been there. I'm there right now sometimes where I go, but I don't know enough of the word, Chris. First of all, my friend Amir over here, incredible college pastor. If you don't know this guy and you're in college, you need to get to know this dude. He's got a fan section. Listen, he was talking to me. He told me something. He said, Chris, I wish our people would remember that it's not about what you don't know, it's about what you do know. Focus on what you do know in the word. Listen, guys, you could literally, I mean, just telling you, it's about focus on what you do know. All you have to do is drive down Dave Ward and speak the marquee signs that you see, and you could speak more scripture than most people do in an entire week. We try to intimidate ourselves with memorization. I don't know, show me in the scripture where God says, and you must memorize every line of scripture. He doesn't say that. He says, keep the word of God on your lips. I'm a big advocate of the iPhone because it's got a few apps on it, like the Bible app. And you can click on it, and then there are scriptures there. And we act intimidated like we don't know enough of the word. Listen, Psalm 91, I did this morning, I prayed Psalm 91 over my family, over my home. Do you think I've memorized all of Psalm 91? No, I clicked on my Bible app. There's also a super cool app on here called the Note app. I don't even know if that's what it's called, but it looks like notepaper, and you just write notes on it. A scripture might hit you right here while I'm talking, and you go, oh, man, I need to remember that. Write it down. I've got three scriptures written on a note that I'm praying over my life. I haven't memorized them. Do not be intimidated by what you don't know. Focus on what you do know. Focus on the tools that God has given you to speak his word and speak it with authority. And there's another group of believers in here. There's another group of people in here right now. And you're going, Chris, if you knew what I had done, if you knew the thoughts that I think, if you knew the words that I said and the things I do in the dark corners of my life, you would never utter the words, speak the word and speak with authority to me, because you know I'm not worthy. And you know what? Here's what I got to tell you right now. Not only would I tell you to do it, I would remind you that it has nothing to do with what you've done. It has everything to do with what he did on the cross. That's why you can speak with authority. Come on. That's why you can speak with the word. So stop focusing on what you do, because guess what? Satan's got you in his best trap, making you think I'm not allowed to do this because of how horrible I am. None of us should be allowed to do it. It's by the grace of God that we're able to do it. And so if you want to stay stuck in 40 years of desert spiritually, Then just keep believing that thought. But if you want to get free, you've got to speak the word and speak with authority. And when the devil comes up and tries to shame you and go, you're not worthy of this is what you say. You're absolutely right, I'm not worthy. Praise God, I'm not worthy. Praise God, I don't have the power to do it, but man, in my weakness, God's power is made complete, and he is my Savior, he is my Jesus, and I win because of him. So skadoosh, you lose, devil. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we've got to do. We've got to have confidence in this. Remember, it's not about what you do. It's about what he's done. So speak with authority. And point number three, speak with faith. Write that down. Speak with faith. We've got to speak the word. We've got to speak with authority. We've got to speak with faith. I love when God is really blunt in Scripture because it makes me want to ask him questions about it to test him. You know what I mean? To make sure, God, are you sure you really mean this? Of course, it's written in the word, so I should know, but it's just something I do. Check this out. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about in a second. Hebrews 11:6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, we hear that Scripture, and most of the time, here's what we think. We think, okay, yeah, that makes sense, but let's challenge ourselves for a second. It is impossible to please God without faith. Okay, so you're saying, God, it's impossible to please you even if I give every penny I own to the poor. It's impossible. You sure? Without faith. Yes, Chris. Okay, God, well, hold on a minute. You're saying if I come up to New Life Church and I scrub toilets, clean floors, do the lawn, everything I got to do, it's impossible. Really, God? Without faith, it's impossible to please me. But here's the cool thing about our Savior, our God. He never gives us, like I said earlier, a challenge or something that we're supposed to do without first laying out the exact road to success. And it's written in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Listen, when I hear the word faith, here's what I usually think about. I have faith. I have faith, God, that your scripture is true. It's the word. It's the spoken word of God. It's real. God, I have faith that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for my sins and I'm saved because of him. God, I have faith that you created the heavens and the earth and the Adam and Eve story and all that. I have faith in that. And recently God hit me. He said, Chris, you know, even the demons believe that stuff. I was like, what? What do you mean, God? He goes, well, the demons believe that Jesus is Lord because they're subject to him. And they were there when he conquered sin in the grave. Demons believe, they know that the word is a spoken word because they have to listen. They're subject to it. They were there when the earth was created. Chris, is your faith only as strong as the demons? And man, I got discouraged for a second. And then all of a sudden, I got so encouraged because God reminded me of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the confident hope that what we hope for is actually going to happen. Faith is future tense. The kind of faith that pleases God is us looking at our challenge, looking at the change we need to make, and looking at the struggles up against us and saying, I win. I get through this. This will not be the rest of my life. I'm going to make it through because I have God, because I have his word, because I have faith that believes in the things that are to come. I remember when I had a back injury and doctors weren't sure if I was ever going to be able to run again, hike again, or even lean over to pick up my baby daughter out of her crib. And I remember one day where this just audacious faith took me over. And I said, no way. That's not my life. I started speaking with faith. And I'm just telling you, this is what I said. I said, pain, injury, whether in this life or the next, I will be free and I will be whole. And there's a power when we have confidence in what God has given us. Joshua certainly spoke with faith, right? He spoke faith and he walked. I could have called this point live with faith. He walked, right? They walked across the Jordan River. They walked around Jericho. And as I said earlier, I don't know where you're at, which lap you're on. But I'm telling you, keep living with faith. Keep speaking with faith. Keep speaking it out. Here's why. We never need to let our circumstances determine our path. Let your faith plot the course. Let me say this again. Do not let your circumstances determine your path. Let your faith plot the course. You see, that's what happened with the Israelites. Their circumstances, the fortified cities, the armor bearers, all these people, they said, okay, well, we're just going to stay here. Too many of us are coping, just staying here. No. It's our faith that plots the course. And so if you only remember one thing from today, it's this. Confidently speak the word of God. Speak his promises over your life. Just do it. I'm telling you, it's a life changer. It's a game changer. And more important than my promise is God's promise. It's His blueprint to success. It's His blueprint to overcoming the challenges, overcoming the struggles. And I want to pray over each and every one of you on a few different things. So let's bow our heads all across the room.